And let's start. And we are recording everywhere. Everywhere we're live, we're good to go. Tonight, April 24th, 2024, we are talking about color therapy and light, which I'm very excited about because those of you who know me know that color is my thing. You know, ever since I was a child, it was very important for me to wear all different colors. I thought that, you know, why should we deprive ourselves of wearing multiple colors? Why does it always have to match? And so I was the most colorful kid there was. And to this day, I love wearing color. I do it through my socks, through my scarves. You just have to sneak a little peek and then you see there's little hidden colors everywhere. But before we start, I want to say that through the year, we're exploring natural, non-invasive healing methods that can complement your routine and help you navigate stress and find balance and restore your optimal health naturally. Now, I do not diagnose any conditions, nor do I prescribe substance or perform medical treatment, nor do I interfere with the treatment of a licensed medical professional. It's recommended that you see a licensed physician or a licensed healthcare professional for any physical or psychological ailment or condition that you may have. I am only here today, all through the year, exploring with you natural methods that have been around, some of them for thousands of years, that I've presented improvement in health in people. And that's all they had back then, and it was effective. So that we can complement whatever treatment you're receiving right now, or add this to your routine in order to balance yourself and ground yourself and find your energy higher, right? So in our search into alternative medicine, we're looking at things that cost little or nothing that can be done from home to a certain degree. And some of the therapies we'll explore today do have professional that you can pay and help you with the treatment. However, there's also quite a few things that you can do on your own if you're not sick or you're just trying to balance your mood and you want to try this out. I find this fascinating. So I don't encourage you to drop any ongoing medical treatment without the advice of a medical practitioner. And the natural alternative are there to complement your therapy and to help you stay balanced and healthy. So more and more of these medicines are recognized, and some of them, being ancient, are being revisited and being more open out west. They've been in the east for thousands of years, but the west is just starting to discover that maybe those actually work well. And so without further ado, let's get going. Let's get your color on. Now, color is an essential aspect of all life. And if you wonder, why can I say this statement? It's just look at nature. Just look at all the different variety of hues that exists in color, in birds, in animals, in flowers, in everything, the skies. It's like God is painting a different painting every evening as the sun sets. It's magnificent, right? Color is everywhere around us. Now, each color is actually composed of a specific frequency of magnetic waves. Every color has its own frequency, and every frequency has its own effect. Now, this is important to understand before we just jump into this, because people know that sound has frequency, but some of you don't realize that color also has a frequency. That's why our naked eye can see only certain frequencies, as opposed to x-rays, where our eyes can detect them, but we know they exist, that frequency is there, and that's how we get the x-rays done. But even in the realm of the naked eye's frequency that our eyes can see, it affects our entire bodies. So if you understand, let's take sound. If you've ever heard of a boom, of the sonic boom, that's when a plane pierces a certain speed and it creates a boom, a sound. So we can hear it. But the reason why we can hear it is because air is being displaced. And this displacement of air creates a wave of energy. And that's what we interpret as sound. You know, those whistle, you blow the whistle, no humans can hear it, but the dogs can. So even our ears, to a certain degree, can perceive only certain frequencies, and below or higher than those frequencies, we just can't hear it because it can't be interpreted through our physical body. We don't have the tools for that. However, for light, it's the same thing. Every variance of frequency can affect your body because you're made of energy, right? I think I've explained that in a different podcast. And because you're made of energy, we can readjust this frequency through light. And that's basically the fundamental of light and color therapy. It's using a perfect frequency to readjust the disaligned frequency that creates the disease in our body. The use of color is mostly predominant in a media such as movies. That's where they use color to convey a feeling or an emotion, right? That's why the noir movie genre is very specific in the type of movie mystery thriller that they portray, because that's the mood that is being set by this black and white. But some movies use the black and white and then color to emphasize something. And so I think the oldest one that most of the people will know is Wizard of Oz, right? The movie starts in black and white, and then when she's over the rainbow, then the movie is in full color. And they made sure that the color popped on the screen. They're trying to say it's a different place. It's a happy place. There's singing. There's, you know, all these things happening. Another movie that creates a very, very potent message is The Girl in the Red Dress, who made the Holocaust real for Oskar Schindler in The Schindler's List. The impact of using color is trying to awaken something. It becomes even more, efficient or obvious in a movie like Pleasantville. Now, Pleasantville presents a transformation from black and white to color, and the characters in the movies change from black and white to color, and as color starts to appear when they connect with the essence of who they really are. When they go from repression to enlightenment, the color gets presented. So the idea is to show you that with color is life. With color is excitement, emotion. There's something that is not there in the black and white. More evidently so in the movie called The Giver, the kid is living this seemingly idyllic world of conformity and contentment. Now, if you like conformity and everybody's the same, but they get injections to not have emotions. He doesn't see the world in color. He sees in black and white. And as he becomes the giver and start to learn how to be the giver tells him, skip the injection, skip this, skip that. And when his body's hormones and adrenals and everything is not subdued by this substance, he starts to see color. He starts to see wonderment around him. And that awakens emotion in him. Now that emotion, that whether that it's love, that it's joy, that it's anger, he's for the first time in his life going through a discovery of emotion. And as he discovers these emotions, the color becomes more filling his entire world. And then his world becomes rich and nuanced, which means that emotions and color go hand in hand in those movies, explaining that if you want a rich life, you need to have color in it and you need to have emotions. So color and light influence our health and our well-being. We feel happier on sunny days than on dark ones or cloudy ones. Ask anyone living in Vancouver, they'll tell you the winters are very dreary. Now, they live in Vancouver because they don't want snow and they don't want cold. However, they also don't get sun. The Vancouver skyline is mostly gray, and you know, it's not this heavy rain, but it could drizzle anytime. So you're basically wet from September to April. And I speak from experience. I live there. That's why I moved. Because this dreariness, this lack of sunlight, was affecting me emotionally. So there's such a thing as the winter disorder, they call it, or it's called SAD, seasonal affective disorder. It's a type of depression, and it only happens at certain times of year, most often in winter, when the days are shorter and there's less daylight, to trigger a chemical change in your brain that leads to symptoms of depression. So you're not depressed because your life is miserable. Your body needs more light, and with the lack of light, reacts a certain way. And the non-therapy for seasonal affective disorder is to sit 20 minutes in front of a special lamp, and the lamp provides you with the rays that you're not getting. So 20 minutes in front of this lamp, and your body absorbs the light that it requires, and without medication, your symptoms disappear. Your symptoms are only the outer layer, if you will, of the onion, right? The cause is the lack of light. So if we're able to get to the cause and we're able to provide the body with what it actually needs naturally, then we can restore our body to health, because we find what it is that it is missing or that it has too much of, and then we can compensate. Even subtle variation can affect us. So a change in color can influence our emotion in ways that are difficult to describe, but they do correspond, and we'll go over that in the podcast tonight, which color corresponds to which part of the body, which organs, which part of the nervous system. Our bodies, our mind, and our spirit will react to light and color. So this isn't just about the physical body. It's your emotional body, it's your mental body, it's your spiritual body. However, we don't tend to think about it so much, right? We tend to follow trends. So the trends for bathrooms right now, it's, as far as I know, it was, you know, gray. There was a while in the 70s where bathrooms, like toilets and sinks, were pink or blue, and they had all these colors. Now we're mostly having bath sinks and toilet that are white, and they're starting to reintroduce some reds in there and some of the color. We tend to follow trends without thinking, how will this color affect me? How is this color going to react with me? So I had painted my previous office in a purple, and I thought this would be a good color because, you know, it would maybe help me get more inspired. And I couldn't work in the office until I had to change the color, because the color was leading me to sleep rather than inspiration or thinking. So I had to vary my color a little bit. So specific color will maybe provoke unanticipated changes in your body process, just like in this one. And some colors can also invoke certain feelings. Now, research has shown that a meeting room with red light lasts twice as long. Now, for any of you who've been stuck in a meeting, you know that you don't want your meeting to last longer. You want your meeting to be easy, communication, straight to the point, get some answers and get out of there. It's very rare that people enjoy meetings. So that means that red is not conducive to relaying information or promoting conversation. A better color would be a light blue. So if you can't play with the lights, you can at least maybe play with the walls, right? Children perform better in orange classroom. Orange promotes relationship, community, and mutual aid. The number of suicide from a black bridge declined 30% when the bridge was painted green. Just the color of the bridge didn't attract, you know, that vibration of being in a dark place. When I plan my house, whatever house I live in, I try to plan a color, a different color for every room. I ask myself, what's going to happen in this room? What is the unconscious or sublining emotion that I want to awake through this color? So my kitchen and my dining room are light green because I want people to feel love when they're here. I want them to be able to open their hearts. When we go into the living room, that's more of our social place. So it's a tinge of yellow because yellow is about individuality, self-esteem. And so that's what I want to promote if we're in a group and I want everybody to shine. So we're using the yellow color. In my meditation room, my classroom, I use the violet to help with the connection with the crown chakra and facilitate meditation. So every color plays a role that it's on the walls, on your body, in your accessories. Every time there is a color, it will affect you. So you have to ask yourself, is this the best color or could I use a different color? Color has a strong influence on her bodies that can be used for therapeutic goals. So the beauty of color therapy is that it has shown obvious visible results, which is nice, right? It's nice when there's been some research backing the use of any products or anything. And light therapy is one of those. The researcher Niels Finsenen has cured patients of TB, tuberculosis, with ultraviolet light. Color therapist Seth Penkos discovered that he could sharply reduce rheumatic complaints, rheumatoid arthritis, by using red components of sunlight. And then another researcher simply asked his patient, because sunglasses block the red sunlight of the sun, to stop wearing the sunglasses just to see if that would make a difference. And that alone reduced their symptoms successfully. So there's two approach here. One is giving red light to compensate for the lack of red light through the absorption of the skin and the eyes. And the other one says, okay, so what's blocking this red light? Let's try to remove this block and see, is that effective? And it was. Now, it doesn't affect just our bodily function, it affects our mood. But yeah, more of my example. Following the introduction of a full spectrum light in a place instead of pink light, there was less conflict in the workplace. So conflict has nothing to do with our bodily function, right? It has to do with our emotional state, and having a full spectrum light reduced conflict in the workplace. Now, they also exposed women to red light and after delivery, and they had bigger breasts and more milk. Diabetes patients whose liver was exposed to yellow and orange light needed less insulin, and exposure to blue light resulting in a narrowing of blood vessels. So I imagine that's, if you have them enlarged. So different color will have different effect. Now, most people live in a less than optimal light environment because artificial light does not contain all the color unless you're specifically, sorry, unless you specifically purchase a full spectrum light. And so the window, I have natural light coming in, but even the window, the glass will filter some of it, blocks ultraviolet light. Oh, hello people. People are joining us. That's great. So, which means that even though you have big windows and you have sunlight when you're inside the house, to a certain degree, the full spectrum is being filtered, and you're not obtaining all of the different rays that you need to be healthy. So nowadays, this disadvantage of using artificial light is even more recognized as people are being prescribed full spectrum light in all colors and or different proportion. Now, I'm sure my son's very techy, so he's always on top of the newest trends. But he has this light that he can control with his phone, and he can make the light. It's a same light bulb, but he can make it red, he can make it blue, he can make it yellow, he can vary this color. Now, if you'd have one or two of those light bulbs inside of a room, and you would spend 20 minutes, because effectively, if seasonal affective disorder can be affected by 20 minutes of that light every morning, one would think that if you were to refocus an environment or a specific light that you choose the frequency on, you don't need to buy 13 light bulbs. You just need to buy the one and adjust your light to the color that you need on that particular day based on whatever you're trying to balance. Now, even your sleep. Your sleep is monitored by the light. A reduce of influx of light starts producing in your brain melatonin, which is a sleep-stimulating hormone. And so the other problem that a lot of people have trouble sleeping is because they're always in front of a screen, right? So your eyes keep getting light as if it's daylight. I have an itchy nose for some reason. So you're watching a screen, your lights are on, you're watching your phone, you're on your iPad. There's a constant influx of light. And so your brain doesn't take its time to produce melatonin. If you want a good night's sleep, you need to stop looking at devices or TV or anything else at least an hour before bedtime. That's when you can have a lower light and read or relax or take a bath or do something that doesn't require you having a lot of light. And this is a recent problem because not so long ago, when people didn't have electricity, nighttime came in, and then all you had is candlelight. So you didn't stay up very late. You were tired. And so in the same process, if you have insomnia, you need to ask yourself, how close to a screen and how much light do I put into, you know, in my environment? And that's what keeps you awake. So try it. And this is not new. Light therapy, color therapy, it has different names. But the oldest one I could find was heliotherapy. Heliotherapy is a long history of being practiced in ancient Greece, ancient Egypt, and ancient Rome. So we're talking at least 3,000 years here. Hippocrate en français. Now, if you wonder why I eat my words, it's because the words are so similar that in English I I look for the proper pronunciation. But the father of modern medicine prescribed exposure to sunlight for a number of illnesses. Now, this is interesting, right? He was saying, sit in sunlight. So it makes you wonder how much light was there in Greece and ancient Rome. And, you know, I know that when I visited Hamburg in Germany, the medieval city was built with high, tall buildings with narrow street, which actually made it difficult for the people to get any sunlight. And a lot of the people suffered from vitamin D deficiency. And so when there was a great fire and it burned all down, they rebuilt it. But this time they whitened the streets. And to this day, the streets in Hamburg are very, very wide. So you, at any time of the day, there's at least one side of the street that has sunlight. So full spectrum or UV light is used to improve skin disorders such as psoriasis. Cold laser therapy is used in laser acupuncture. So rather than a needle, that's what is being used. Colored light therapy uses colored filters to distribute the color light to the different areas. So it can be focus, right? So we can be in the room and have blue light, red light shining all around the room. So we're bathing in it. Or we can focus. And this is when you would probably then look for a practitioner to help you work with this and have the proper tool. But then we can really focus specifically on specific areas. So now, Chinese medicine. Now, Chinese medicine, we know, is thousands of years old. It's used by the traditional Chinese medicine. And they're the one who connected the specific colors with specific organs and function. So they are actually going further than just the mood or general health. They're saying that specific color will affect specific organs and specific glands. The basis for the following facts have been established for hundreds of years, right? And it helps us then gain a new insight. So did we start anything new out in the West? I don't think so. I think we just became aware of what existed and we are applying it differently with different technology, right? In Persia, the Persian polymath Avicenna, who lived between 980 to 1037, developed a chart that rated color to temperature and the physical condition of the body. So red was more warm, whereas blue and white cooled you down, and the yellow reduced some pain and inflammation. Now, this is great to know, because instead of always taking pills, you can try the yellow to reduce inflammation and pain. The Ayurvedic medicine mainly works with the seven chakras, which, you know, has the same thing, the main colors of the rainbow, and they'll wrap people in certain colors to make them embedded into this frequency. So does that work? Well, all of these ancient systems used this and it was effective. So who are we to say that it doesn't, right? Chromotherapy seeks to use color and light to balance a patient's energy field in order to remedy the physical, emotional, spiritual, and mental problems. Now, chromotherapy can be used through computers and machines, and they'll program a specific color on a screen. But the idea is that they're working with the energy field. So at the beginning of the podcast, I did say all of this is based on frequency. So it's based on us being made of energy. As long as you understand this bit, then you can see that all of these frequencies can be felt, measured, and if you, my brother sent me a video, and this gentleman is playing a frequency and it's affecting the environment. So he's displaying the sound, but the same can be done with light. Light therapy can also be called phototherapy. And it involves exposure to bright light in order to improve your well-being, your mood, sleep disorder, as well as depression. So we're back to this, for example, this, I think a lot of people can relate to the seasonal affective disorder. It's a small light. You can buy it in any pharmacy. Major stores will have those. And even insurance company will pay you back if your doctor prescribes the light for you. So it's a recognize when the insurance company starts paying for it, that means that they're recognizing its effectiveness, and that's why they will agree to reimburse you the cost. So medicine agrees that light functions, okay? And that I think is important, because in some of these alternative medicine, the medical field is not always agreeing this is effective or not, and they have their own doubts. But as far as light therapy goes, that one is well supported, which I think it's a great avenue to explore, something to have fun with, right? A more scientific approach uses laser, light-emitting diodes, fluorescent lamp, different colors viewed from different axes, different lamps. And it can be a very bright to full spectrum light can be used. So it's the person in charge of your treatment that will calculate these wavelengths and where this the light needs to be projected. Yes. Now, can we do this by ourselves? To a certain degree. Like I said, if you're very, very sick, I wouldn't drop everything just to sit in the sun, right? But what if what adding light therapy or color therapy to your current treatment helps you get better faster? Wouldn't it be worth a try, right? So it's a subtle energy. Maybe the impact is not being felt immediately. Like, it's been so long now since I've had the seasonal affective disorder. It's hard for me to remember how long it would take for the lamp to be effective. But I would start to feel that I needed the lamp in fall. And I think within a few days, my mood was already lifted. So it's not immediate as in this second, but it's still very effective that it doesn't take weeks to kick in to see the benefits. So color therapy is classified as a vibrational healing modality. And the therapist will apply lights, use colored tools, visualization, or even verbal suggestion. How do we find out which light we need? Kirlian, Simeon Kirlian, who passed away in 1978, was a Russian inventor, scientist, who was able, through a photographing an object and exposing the film to in a dark room to a light, resulted in seeing the aura. They could take a picture of the aura. The image would show the light, a glowing band surrounding the outlining of the object. And the technique is being used to measure auras now in humans and plants and everything surrounding you. And making, Kirlian said that his images made the human aura visible. Now, there's a lot of different scientific explanation as to, is this really, you know, what it is? However, there's humans who can see aura and energy fields, and they're saying the image matched what they're seeing. So the aura photography comes from a result of the interactions, the chemical reactions. Different theories say that it points out to the moisture and the different voltage and this and that. But the end result is something like this, where you have a picture of yourself, but you can see around you a very clear aura and the color frequency that is varying in this aura. So I had this done a few years ago. And as you can see, my color is mostly green, but with some yellow and orange. So the reading said that I'm communicative, social, balanced, creative, and logical. I was like, okay, nice. They didn't see any, my field is very round, is very full of light. So they didn't particularly suggested that anything needed to be done to fix my aura. Sometimes your aura could have leaks. It could have black spots. It could have, it could be broken. It could, you know, there's different things in your aura. So that's when a practitioner will go in and then work with you with the results in order to plug the holes, refill your aura with energy. Now, this can be used through typically different modalities. Reiki works with aura and chakra and energy, but any healing modalities or energy transfer can work with that. Now, is it necessary to get a picture, to get an aura reading? No. Someone who's sensible to the energy can read your energy and describe what's going on without necessarily having a picture taken. But as I'm a curious in nature, I like to test out the different technology out there and see, does it jive with what I'm feeling or what I know about myself, right? So, basically, you read the person's aura or vital energy field, and you heal the chakra, the energy of the aura, appreciating the fact that the aura is a bubble that surrounds you. So if the energy surrounding you is good, it would intrinsically affect the inside of the bubble, which is your physical body. Yes, in your aura, your aura contains your physical body, your emotional body, your mental body, and your spiritual body, and your etheric body, all that enveloped in a bubble. So if the bubble is healthy and full of energy, the theory is that the rest of you will match the frequency and become healthy as well. Now, aura therapy is generally considered a subtype of the biofield therapy, but there's some form of investigation that happens there. Most practitioners will work with you with the aura, but they'll work with you with all the energy field as well. It aims at restoring the proportion of the color in the person's aura and clarify or intensify the energy. So you can take multiple applications, what's nice about the picture is that if someone takes the picture and your aura is really dim, after a session, you retake the picture and you can see the difference. Although generally, you will feel a difference. And that's what's the most important. A lot of people ask me, you know, are you able to see these things? It must be really cool. But the fact that you can't see doesn't prevent you from knowing something has changed, something is different inside your body. And that's what you need to focus on, is how are you getting the message that you're better, that you're light, people feel lighter, people feel the pain is gone. They have obvious results, but mostly check with yourself. I always make people how do you feel now when they come in, and how do you feel before they leave? So they already know and notice there's a massive difference between when they came in and when they're leaving. So red there tells them something happened during the session that's transformed it and made you feel better. Now, the variation of aura therapy, there's the therapeutic touch or Reiki, which transfer energy from the practitioner's hand into the person receiving the energy. And the illness can be caused by a blockage. And so the pushing of this light pushes the blockages out of the way, working with either the chakras, the meridian, or simply the auric field. There's also T-touch. T-touch is an energy transfer where the practitioner will lightly touch the patient's skins by making a gentle circular motion. I don't practice this personally, so I prefer a no-touch kind of approach because I feel the energy better when I'm not in contact with another surface. But that's a personal preference. So there's different type of practitioner that you can work with. Some of them highly specialize in light specifically. And then one of these ways to work with the light is some people make lists and they tell you the colors and how you'll feel better and the mood that this color will inspire. But you yourself can figure that out. You don't need a big degree or a lot of time studying. If you take the association of the chakras. Now, when I wrote the book, The 13 Chakras of Ancient Egypt, I talk about each chakra and the color associated to it and the organs and the glands in order to facilitate you picking the right color to help you. And I talk about the body, the mood, and the mental state. And each color is linked to a psychological function, you know, an organ system. So it's interconnecting everything in your body. So let's go over this. So it gives you an idea of what that looks like. So first we'll start with your base of your spine. The base of the spine is, a lot of people call this chakra the root chakra, but it's in the Egyptian system, the root chakra is in your feet. The base chakra is at the base of your spine. And it works with, for the men, the testicles, and the females, it works with the vagina. Whereas the uterus is in a different chakra, in a different color, and everything is different there. The base chakra is for stability and safety, anchoring you in your ancestral rites and your tradition, connecting you to your kundalini opening and your ancestors. If you use the red light, you will be able to affect your lazy intestine, your lack of energy, dementia, rheumatism, anemia. So this red light also will work on the ovaries, the testes. It will also work on your sexual appetite, I guess, or it has, for men. For women, it's orange, so that only works for men. Works with your skeleton. It's the first three vertebrae at the pelvic area. So the frequency is between 400 and 484 cycles per second, or hertz. And that is a musical note. It's a sound, but it's also the color red. So using red will allow you to be on time, to be more focused in your day-to-day applications, and knowing how to protect yourself or staying safe. Now, if we go up about where the belly button is, now, you know, I'm using the belly button because it gives you a bit of an idea. It's in the middle of the navel, right? It's all the chakras are inside your body and they're three-dimensional. They're like a ball. So it's not a flat disc emanating energy in just two directions. We're not two-dimensional being, we're three-dimensional being. So the chakras are round and so they're emanating in 360 degrees. And so they're affecting everything surrounding them. So in the case of the sacral chakra, it's affecting the lower abdomen, the bladder, the small intestines, the kidneys, the adrenals. And the orange will help you with sticky mucus in your intestines and constipation. It also works with your relationship and your appetites and your desire. For women, that's the uterus, right? So if you're talking about reproduction, baby in the womb, it's all in the orange. Why would this center be in the woman would be in the orange? So think about it. The uterus is the purpose of a uterus is to create a baby. The orange color is about relationship. So it's the very basic first relationship you will have with your newborn. You have to create a link with this energy for 9 months. Therefore, it's there to promote this frequency of relationship between you and the baby. It affects also the spleen. And the lymphatic system. So there's a lot in this area that is triggered by the color orange. So if you have any issues in that area specifically, I wouldn't ask myself a whole lot of questions. I usually go with creating a band around me and thinking if anything is within that band, that's the color I need. The yellow color is next. So we're talking about just below the sternum, right? In that area where the stomach is, but also we have the liver, we have the pancreas, we have the gallbladder. All of those can be affected and treated by the color yellow. And think about it. What happens when you're off, you get a jaundice. It's from those organs, right? The color yellow, it's telling you I need yellow. But it's also about self-esteem. Your confidence and your personality. So you can request support from the yellow in your physical body, but also if you are low on self-esteem, if you have low confidence, if you're very shy and you don't believe in your abilities and your gifts, surrounding yourself with yellow will be extremely effective. The yellow is very straightforward. It's all about your identity, what makes you you. So anywhere that you're not comfortable with yourself, if an environment fails you, makes you feel smaller, putting yellow will be very helpful. And we'll go into ideas of how to introduce that to your environment as soon as I'm finished with the colors here. So thank you for the question, but I will address that in a minute. I just want to run through the colors first. The next color is green, and a green affects the mammary glands, the muscular system, your circulation, because it's all about your heart. It's also about unconditional love, and I always want to make sure that people understand it's unconditional love for others, but also for yourself. Accepting who you are, your body, your mind, your ideas, and making it blossom. Once you accept who you are, that's when you can blossom. It's the equivalent of a plant finally taking root into the ground. It's like taking its place and then it's blossoming. Until then, it's weak and it spends so much energy trying to ground itself with its roots. It can't flower. So you use the green in order to love yourself and forgive others and yourself. You will deal with the green for angina and blood pressure, amongst other things. And then we go into the pink. The pink is up here. The pink is in your body, the thymus gland. It affects your skin, your lungs, and your immunity. So therefore, you would use the pink to deal with bronchitis, asthma, rash, tuberculosis, anything that has to do with the lungs. The pink represents universal love. It's our ability to volunteer, to do community work. It's the gift of self, right? So it's your ability to share who you are as the gift to the community and the people that surrounds you. So it's all about giving love without expecting anything in return. So the green one is loving unconditionally. So it's accepting everybody for who they are, what they are, and loving them that way. But the universal love is about giving love and being of service without expecting anything in return, right? So one is you putting condition, and the other one, well, I guess you could put condition on saying, I'll do this, but I want that. But the idea is that you're beyond the condition. You're at the point where you realize that you're a gift to your community by your presence, by your intelligence, by your knowledge, by your wisdom, by your time. And you gift the community. And the community can be your family. It could be, participating in a youth group, being a big brother, big sister, that kind of stuff, right? So it has many, many output. Visiting sick people, taking the time to go to a senior's home and visiting those who have no family or no one visiting them. It doesn't require you to give 100 hours a week, but you keep that energy center pumping by participating in the community and giving of yourself. Then we go to the troth. The troth's color is light blue. And I put the emphasis on light blue because when we get to the third eye, it'll be an indigo. It's a dark blue purplish kind of color. This one is really like the sky, blue sky. And this one, I mean, a lot of people will say, oh, that's the throat chakra. And we tend to limit its impact only in our throat, which is a diminutive of what really this energy center is all about. Because this one will affect your vocal cords, but it will also affect your mouth, your jaw, your tongue, your pharynx, your palates, your ears. Your ears are connected to the throat. So it's all one system. Because what is communication? Communication is just not one person talking. In order to be communicating, that means someone is talking, the other one is listening. So we need our ears as much as our vocal cords to communicate. But it's also the thyroid and the parathyroid. And you would focus on blue light for any of these issues. So any ear infection, any throat infection, amygdala's infection, loss of voice, all of those things are affected by your throat center. So the light blue fosters and helps communication. So I would like to put that light, I tend to put the light blue either in a dining room or in an area where people are meeting. And that fosters the talking, eliminates gossip, and brings more laughter in the conversation as well. Now, aqua, now you're going to say, how come you're including pink and aqua? Those are not the colors of the chakras, because we're not working with the seven chakras, which are the color of the rainbow. We're working with the Egyptian system, which has 13. And that particular one is situated right behind the nose. Its function is the thought centers. So all of your thoughts start there. It's behind the nose and affects your sinuses, your bone marrow, your nervous system, and your cerebellum. So in your brain, you have the main big brain that we all know is gray matter. And then there's a smaller brain, the cerebellum. And then you have the spinal cord. So the aqua color affects all of those. So people say, okay, but I have a headache, so I use aqua. If your headache is low, yes. If your headache is here, no. So again, imagine a band of color going around. This is the area where the aqua color will be effective. It can help with certain headaches, epilepsy, acne, but it enhances common sense and thinking abilities and stimulates thoughts and new ideas. So that color is fabulous. If you're a thinker, if you're a creator, if you're an artist, these are where, you know, the inspirations start. This is where the sparks begin. It also works with your pituitary gland, which, you know, in partnership with the pineal gland, fine balance. Now, all of the next three chakras are really close to one another, and they're using all the different three glands as a teamwork. more as as a team than more individual, like the paratara, which is really focused in your trope. The next three are intertwined and working along with each other as a team. So it could be aquacolor, and this one can be like some people will see it as a moonlight, silver light kind of luminescence, kind of soft radiance kind of light. So both colors can be effective. Certain chakras do have, you know, different colors, and these colors vary depending on the frequency. The higher the frequency in that particular area, your light will go from pearlescent to aqua. So if you can see the aqua there, then your frequency is higher than the white, but white is still better than no light at all. Yes. And then we go to the third eye and the forehead. The color is indigo. So that's that deep blue purplish color. And its main function is with the eyes. So anything from glaucoma to myopia to anything relating to the eyes will be affected. But it also will affect your actualization of your thoughts, meaning your thoughts begin here, but they have to grow into action. They have to grow into a focus, which is what the third eye center is helpful for. It's a great color energy for meditation, which when I painted my office that color, I always seemed to go into a trance. I couldn't get out of it because the color reflected too much the higher functions than what I actually needed. So I switched the color to aqua. And then the ideas are sparking. The creativity is there so I can work. And the environment, the color in my environment is supporting me in achieving this. So there you go. It's specifically the pineal gland, and it helps with your intuition. So all of these things are affected by the indigo light. Now, violet is the top of the head. Now, on the top of the head sits your chakra of the a lot of the different cultures describe as a lotus flower. So the lotus is a flower that allows more to energy to enter the top of the head through the crown chakra. Now, this is another place where you can get headache and depression. But the depression can be multi-base or multi-caused, right? So this is the loss of hope kind of place, because it's your connection to the universe. It's your connection. That's where the connection to your soul goes. So if you're disconnected or if it's blocked, you'll have the headache and the depression, but you'll fall into this hopeless state or this lack of purpose state. So being able to unplug your crown chakra allows you to have that mystic connection, that spirituality, that stimulation of spirit. And this is where the hypothalamus kicks in. And now it still needs the pituitary gland and the pineal gland, but the hypothalamus function are really connected to the violet. Above, outside your body, is the white. Now, if you know a little bit about light, you know that if you shine white light through a crystal, there's a rainbow that pops up at the other end, right? And so this white light contains all light. That would be a full spectrum light. And it comes from your soul star. So this area that is the connection to the soul, that's where the soul resides, or at least sits or is connected to. It's outside the body. So it has to do with the spirituality, your soul's purpose, and receiving guidance. So if you feel lost, if you feel at a crossroad and you're not sure in which direction to go, I would first start unplugging all the different chakras so that this light coming from your soul star can penetrate and be distributed to all your different chakras and kick in. The purple is for the shoulder, arms, and your hands. Why? Because it's being fed by the light blue and the pink, which creates the purple. Purple is the color of Reiki, and for that reason is associated to the hands. It's partially a combination of the two, so giving of yourself and communicating with others. Now, we know sign language is a way of communicating with our hands, but it's also all our body language, a waving of the hand, offering a hug. People understand without us saying words. And their hands are a huge part of this ability to connect and communicate. You'd use the purple for the arthritis, the tennis elbow, shoulder pains. And note that it has to be the shoulder from the rotator cuff down and not, you know, up here where it's part of your back or it's part of something else, right? So that'll use a different color. And the magenta is for the feet chakra, which are the true root chakra. And they're helping connecting your spiritual experience on earth while in the human body. It's an energetic root that circulates energy through the earth and back to us. It makes us feel connected. It also will be associated to all the meridians and the sciatica. So if you're looking to do anything to work on your hips all the way down to your feet, magenta would be the color of choice. And finally, brown or earthy colors. So that will include, you know, a lot of the beige and stuff, but it's the earth connection. The earth is an important part of your existence and enhances your connection to Mother Earth, and it keeps you in the third dimension, really anchoring you into regulating your appetite, your sleep and awake cycles, your mobility, and your ability to be present and to be in this life. Now, there are the different theories about the colors, you know, like I said, there's the seven chakras, they use seven colors. With the Egyptian model, we're able to, we're able to have the 13 colors. So we're more specific and we redistribute some things that were clumped together through the seven chakra system into their right color fields. There's also the fact that sometimes a person, just like a person will associate a certain smell to an experience they've had or a person they've known, in the same way, a particular color could bring elevated feelings that have, you know, are outside of the 13th chakra, but they're tied in with the experience that this person have. And so I'm not trying to discredit if you're saying that, the color pink makes you feel in love. Well, then that's great. That's your personal association with the color. So, and that's not to be undermined. The colors suggested are based on the existing systems that have used these colors for thousands of years. So remember, I'm relating information to you and how I apply it, but feel free to experiment, right? That's the whole idea. You're not going to get hurt. You can't overdose on color. So, you know, play around and see how do I feel. So you can go get a treatment and get focalized energy beams on the specific body areas of your body. But you can also start wearing different colors. Now, some people are going to say, well, yellow doesn't suit me. I can't wear yellow. But everyone can wear a yellow scarf. And this is where it gets interesting. Yellow scarf works. It's a cheaper way and you don't need to buy the fancy scarves. They don't have to be silk scarf. You can get simple scarf and start adding color to your wardrobe that way. But if you know anything about color, you'll know that as much as white is the spectrum of all colors, black absorbs all color. So if you're constantly wearing all black, you're preventing your body from absorbing light. This is very important. I keep telling my student, please don't come to class dressed in black by now. You should know you should wear a color of any kind, but put a color on because at least that frequency is being absorbed in your body, attracting this light and this color to you rather than the black preventing you from absorbing the light. Now, I spoke about you can paint a room a certain color. And I understand paint is expensive. It's very costly to repaint some rooms. And if you're renting, maybe you're not allowed to paint. And taking that into consideration, I've suggested to people to go to the dollar store and you buy this pad of construction paper and you take all the orange out of the pile and you can usually make a pretty nice block. So you can't do the whole room, but at least if you're sitting or meditating, particularly in facing this way, then where your eyesight lands is where you'll create the square of orange, red, pink, blue, green, whatever color you want to work with. It's cheap. It's actually can be rolled up and folded and put away until further use, so it's reusable. And none of the landlords are going to complain because you've had a color on there. And of course, you can buy the sticky gum instead of pins or, you know, scotch tape, which will ruin the actual paint. But there's ways to get around it and to still be surrounded by this color and allow this color to be affecting your mood and your health. Another one, unlike scent, color is not as aggressive, if we can put it that way. And but if you're working in a cubicle at work, you can't paint the cubicle, right? And you can't cover it necessarily with a bunch of, you know, construction paper. But one of the suggestions I've made to people is try to print yourself that is the color of what you're trying to work. So a person was trying to work on yellow. It was a large bouquet of yellow roses and a yellow vase. So no one's going to be offended by a picture sitting near your screen with the picture, the yellow roses picture, but it's within your eyesight. And that's what's important. It doesn't have to be in your direct view. It can be peripheral vision. The frequency still enters your eyes. Although we focus on the screen, the peripheral vision will still be affected by the color. And so you can change that through, I don't know, a different bouquet of flowers. Flowers, I find work really good. But it could be a pile of spice. It could be anything. You just print these pictures, right? Whatever works for you. And usually I find that flowers are not offensive. So it's hard to offend people with flowers, with an image of flowers anyway. Now, lighting a particular color. Again, at work, it might be a little bit harder, but I always had my seasonal affective disorder lamp at work, and it was on for 20 minutes and didn't bother anyone. So that I could effectively bring to work with me. But for the different variation of colors, depending on who you work for, the owner might not be willing to spend money on full spectrum lights, but you can always propose it. Who knows? You might say, well, you know, when we change the light, we'll change them for that. But at home, that's when you can play with them. Now, I find the cheapest and most effective solution is those lights that are controlled through your cell phone, because within an instant, you get exactly the color you want. And it's always the same light bulb. They're a little pricey at first, but trying to find all the light bulbs and all the different color is extremely difficult. So I like simple. Sometimes, you know, that works better. And so you can have two or three lamps that have these special light bulb in a special room. That could be your bedroom, it could be your reading room, it could be your meditating room, but it should be a room in which you will spend some time without other distractions. So other than reading or, you know, writing, it should be, it can't be competing with TV or video games or, you know, tablets or laptops. That's what I'm saying. The fact that, you know, when you play video games and you have these flashes of light, now you get some movies that warn you there's flash of light and might create epileptic seizure in some people, but it affects them greatly. But don't think that because you're not epileptic that it's not affecting your own personal brain. These flashes of light are still creating chaos in your head. So having this quiet time without other distraction, other influx of light, and really selecting the frequency you want to be bathing in is going to be highly effective. You can also buy colored glasses, which are super cool. Now, what's trending right now is the glasses with the blue filter because of all the white light from the screens. So they've realized that this is way too much light and it's affecting our vision and it's affecting our brain. But you can buy pink glasses, aqua glasses, purple glasses, you can wear them. Now, I don't know, that some driving glasses are more like yellow. And they even help you when you drive at night. So they're helping with the light reflection and things like that. But other than the yellow, I've never seen other driving glasses, but you can get colored glasses in every color. And you can wear them while doing dishes, while doing the laundry, while, you know, folding, while, I don't know, raking leaves in the garden. It's when your sight is your eyes are open, the frequency gets in. And again, it's not something you need to wear all day. 20 minutes will be effective. So it's easy to purchase these glasses. If you don't know where, you can always contact me through my website. We have them here. Then, water radiated with a color. Now, this is a indigo water bottle. So you can see it's kind of this dark blue purple. We put water in this and we allow it to sit for a few hours. And this blue color vibration is infused in the water. And so when you're drinking the water is infused with the vibration of the color. I don't have any other colors to show you. This is the main color that I use. But any glass bottle in a certain color, if you let the water sit in them for an hour to 3 hours, will be infused with the vibration of the bottle color. And then as you are then literally drinking the frequency when you're drinking your water. And then there's bathing, which we have at the center here, these watercolor bottles. And you put those in the tub and it makes the color, the water take the color. It doesn't, you don't, if it's blue, you're not coming out like a Smurf, right? It doesn't tint your skin. It doesn't tint the bathtub. Both are safe. It just really affects the water. They're natural without any, it's organic colors, right? So there's no perfume, no oils. So if you're sensitive to scent and things like that, it's safe. My kid bathed in pink every day after she came from school, and that was highly effective for her. It helped her get over what she was seeing at school as not loving and compassionate. And so it was kind of healing her heart to bathe in pink. And she did that for almost a year. So you don't absorb it through your skin. It's the idea of the water being that color that makes the frequency. Your whole body is bathing in that frequency. And so it helps you readjust quickly whatever defacement you've had during the day or during the week. So those are the different ways that you can use color. And a lot of those things, once you know which color you need, are effectively cheap and easy to get and easy to procure. There's a gentleman called Edgar Cayce. In Through His Readings, he actually talked about the importance of light and how to create self-made UV light and other light that were needed for these different people to heal. And you can make these, you can create these in very, very cheap and inexpensive ways. Like, you know, there's that kind of cellophane plastic colored sticky stuff that you can use to make gift baskets and things. If you can put it far enough away from the light bulb and cover the light, then that's an easy way to change the light color with a light bulb. Edgar Cayce's readings are accessible online if you become a member, and you can read and everything that he's talked about light healing and light frequencies. There's newer technology that actually will use LED technology, so makes them much smaller, more convenient, and more focused. So if you're working on smaller areas that you want to treat more directly, then LED lights would also be a great way to do that. Typically, a light box that emits 10,000 lux. A lux is a candlelight. So 10,000, the power of 10,000 candlelight is very bright, right? So it's it varies from the light blue to the green. So you want to know, and you can read that now, especially with LED lights, what is the variation, what's the hertz or what's the frequency of the light you're buying. So you can start paying attention to that now. Another guy that was very interesting and made a lot of progress as far as creating a crystal light machine about 20 years ago is Marcel Vogel. Marcel Vogel was a scientist at IBM for almost 27 years, and he has many patents and created a lot of advancement in the technology of computers. And he researched quartz crystals extensively, and he realized that matching a light with a crystal enhanced the ability to pulsate the light more effectively by pointing at a person's chakra. Now, some beds exist, they're Vogel beds, but they cost about $4,000 US, so it's not something that you can just go and buy. However, some practitioners do have these beds, and you can just lay on the bed and they point the different light infused through crystals, so expanding the benefits of this light into very specific areas of your body, either organs or just the central chakras. So I would say that before you go buy the Vogel bed, just try to see if someone in your area has that service available and give it a try. It's a nice time for self-care and seeing the change. I think that it's very important that you should journal how you feel before a treatment and after a treatment and a week or two after the treatment, so that you realize that the treatment worked, the treatment sticks, that what does it change and what is it, how was it effective for you, so that it helps you corner what works best for one person might be different for another. We're all different. Now, as much as movement therapy can be facilitated through music, color therapy can be facilitated through art. Now, art therapy is a little bit harder to define, and I decided to put it with the color section rather than the music section. It's very effective for people who are more kinetic learners. So we have your visual learners. So this seeing the color will be extremely effective. For the audio learners, it's about frequency. So that, you know, I don't know how light colors will work for you, if it'll be as effective as someone who's a visual learner. But if you're a kinetic learner, which means you learn with your hands, you're good with your hands, and if you can count blocks and learn division by playing with things, it's easier for you to learn, then color therapy through art will be very effective for you. Because you're more involved in the actual session rather than sitting there looking at light or bathing in light or getting light directed at you. You're part of the creating this light, mixing the colors and creating something. I find that it helps them improve their health and well-being while they're using their body in the healing process. And you don't need to be an artist to use art therapy. This is about creating a work of art. And honestly, works of art are very, the beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, right? I don't know. Picasso's original, but is it as beautiful as a Michelangelo? I don't know. I prefer, I'm a classic person, right? So it's not about what you're creating. It's about the process of creating. And then just, you know, be happy with the result. Just toss the result if you don't like it. But it, the process of playing with color is beneficial. Now, there is official psychologist trained in art therapy. It incorporates the production of visual arts such as painting, sculpting, to understand and express your feelings. So you can go through the whole full-on art therapy. But I just find that the creative process that is it's helped to enhance your physical, mental, and emotional well-being. So as long as you use the colors to express what is felt on the inside, then you're reaching your goal, right? Art therapy doesn't limit itself to just straight color. It can be drawing, painting, photography, or the use or the lack of the color in order to express something. So when we talked about media and movies at the beginning of the video here, what we're saying is that the producers and the directors are using color to pass on their message more effectively using color. So that's a different way of using color in a creative way in order to express something that is deep within ourselves. Now, this process is done if you're working. It has to be, now that it's a therapist working with you or you're working with yourself, it has to be done freely. So you can't be having fear of negative comments or receiving judgment. You don't have to show this to anybody else. However, this spontaneous expression may help you release something that was buried very deep unconsciously within you. And so it can be used in psychoanalytical theory as well, but you should learn to know who you are, learning to know yourself. And so the work that you're producing can be helped to communicate between the patient and the therapist. However, it can be helped to communicate with your inner self, your inner child, your higher self. All of these, if there's a disconnect, I find creativity is the best way to re-plug all the wires together. This exercise in self-discovery is very empowering, and it can be very helpful. And sometimes, I'm at a loss for words. Okay, but maybe if you draw it, something will come up. Maybe if you use colors with it, maybe this will help you find the words, because a picture is worth 1,000 words. So I know that my son did art therapy for about 2 years, and he loved it. He loved it because he had cheap paper to start with, and he could pass his rage, his anger, his sadness, and it was always dark and grays and things. And then when he would start using colors, then he was allowed to use better quality paper. He had to clean all his brush from the blacks and the grays, and then he felt like the yeller of gawk had been removed, and then he could see the true colors coming as an inspiration to him. So I would suggest to any who wants to try to remember that when we're kids, we're drawing and we don't know how to read yet. And then we learn how to write, and then we have the picture and we tell the story of the picture. And then eventually the picture loses importance, and we all focus on the word, on the grammar, on the vocabulary, and we forget that we started expressing our inner selves through images. So go back and connect with your inner child in your journal rather than just writing words. Try to write with different colors, try to draw or paint something that day, or even if it's you decide to paint your page pink, and then ask yourself, why did I choose pink today? What does pink mean to me? Why is today pink so important? And explore and get to know who you are. And through that, you will be on a self-discovering journey of your inner self. And I think that alone can be a fantastic tool to use. But art therapy is known to be very effective for chronic stress, insomnia, depression, and studies have demonstrated the efficacy of art therapy for people suffering from memory loss due to Alzheimer's and other disease, stroke residual, cognitive functioning, traumatic brain injury, post-traumatic stress disorder, chronic illnesses, and aging. So, who wouldn't benefit from a little bit of art and drawing and painting, right? Never underestimate the power of color. So obviously I told you guys, I'm a big fan of color. My entire life has always been about color. I've always painted my house all these different colors. I always wear very colorful clothes. I will mix and match them without fear. And this is the most tame I am, is when I'm doing this video, because I'm introducing myself to the world and first don't want to scare you away looking like a clown. But I think that color has a way to also unite us and help us figure out who we are. So try any of these suggestions, and I welcome comments. So if you try it, I'd love to hear how it went for you and how effective it was. Is there any other question? Did I answer all of the questions that I have on screen? I believe so. So if there's no other questions, I want to say one more thing. All the color stuff that I use has no scent and has no additives to it. But there's nothing wrong with using color and combining it with aromatherapy or hydrotherapy, which is where you put the color inside the bath, right? Or using smell, to match or enhance the frequency. It's all about frequency. And in the same way, Vogel combined the crystals and the light. So light can be easily added on or tacked on to another modality. And it's only going to enhance the effect. So works faster, works better. I absolutely love it. So if you have any questions and you're watching this after the fact, just put it down in the comments below and I'll answer it. Subscribe to either Facebook or a channel on YouTube or a podcast, and then you'll be made aware the next time I make one of these, which is next month. It's the last Wednesday of every month. So the last Wednesday of May. I can't remember the exact date right now, but we will be touching on herbology and Bach flowers. So all about herbs. How is nature helping us remain healthy, balanced, and strong? It's all about if you're doing well, these can help you be exceptional. If you're struggling, they help you balance yourself. But you don't have to stop there. You can also be exceptional. Just take a little longer because got a little bit more work to do, right? So don't lose hope. Be inquisitive. Be curious. Try new things and allow yourself to find help in a different way. So I thank you all very much. I'm sorry about the kerfuffle at the beginning there. Sometimes it happens. Technology doesn't always cooperate with us. So since there's no questions, I'll see you all 1 month from now, last Wednesday of May, on herbology and Bach flowers. So you take care and I'll see you soon.